Hello, sugar babies. It is Lala Kent.
And Randall.
And this is Give Them Lala with Randall. And here we are at Sir, podcasting our asses off.
We haven't left here. Last week we're at Sir. This week we're at Sir. I think you've moved me into Sir for good.
It's a good joint. It's the mothership.
It is the mothership.
I know. And for those of you who are listening and don't know that you can call us at 866-LALA-POD, 866-LALA-POD. We would love to hear from you. And Rand, we also have an overwhelmingly amount. Is that right?
Let's just roll with it. It's not right,
okay.
But we're just going to go.
Voicemail.
Tim, you want to correct her?
An overwhelming amount.
There we go.
Overwhelming. Leave the L-Y off.
Leave the L off.
Yeah.
I swear I was good in English class. I swear I'd done good in English class.
Oh, God.
We want to use today, this podcast will be dedicated to listening to voicemails and just talking about, you know, everything you guys want to know.
But let's talk about why we did this. So we have a lineup of superstar guests after this week. So you got so much demand for the question part of this, and I did too, that we decided... now we're what, 5 weeks in? 5 weeks in, right? We're 5 weeks in, Tim?
Six.
This is episode six.
Okay, see, we're 6 weeks in. Yeah. We felt that now we owe it to the listeners and the fans who've like been cool and rode with us and didn't kick me off the podcast, that we just want to answer their questions the entire episode. And I just think that's going to be something we're not going to do a lot, but we're going to try it out and see if it works.
It's fun. So let's get it popping. Let's listen to the first one.
All right, let's go.
Hi, Lala and Randall. Just want to say, like everybody else, I love the podcast. I feel like I'm getting to know an entirely new side of both of you, and I can't get enough, and I love seeing you two as a couple. My question is, we've been able to hear a little bit about other couples, like Brittany and Jax, and how they met, and their love story, and I would love to hear more about you two, besides hitting it and bagging it. So can you tell us more about the first time you met, what your first date was like, and how you went on from there. Thank you again for everything, and bless you both.
Oh, I love her. Well, we did in our podcast a couple episodes ago dive into how Jax and Brittany met, which was super interesting and fun.
They met in Vegas.
Yes.
Yep.
We did not. You and I, our first time meeting was at Sir.
Yes. We first met at Sir. I saw you. It was during holiday time, and we were having a holiday dinner here for the company, and I saw you. Tim was here, right, Tim?
I was.
And then I saw you, and I was like, oh, my God, that girl's so beautiful. And so I sent my guy over to get your number because I was intimidated. And intimidated or drunk, I'm not sure. But drunk? What do you think, Tim?
Maybe
I
both.
Think a little of both.
Okay. So a little of both. And then you dismissed him like he was beneath you.
This is Alex we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our other
producer. Who's on vacation. And that was it. And so then I
just want to say this. He sent his business person, Alex, over to ask me if I was an actress. And I was like, he knows me from TV. He says, you know, I'd like to introduce you to Randall. He produces movies. I was like, yes, call my manager. And
so I called your manager.
So you called my manager.
And then,
yes.
we took a meeting because there was a movie that we ended up making.
The Row.
The Row, which you were in. Which yes. It was a college fun horror film. And we took a meeting with your manager. And then during the meeting at the restaurant, we had this connection, which was very weird because I don't think either one of us thought that.
I forgot my manager was even there.
Correct. And to be honest, you gave me your number during that meeting.
Yes.
You said, take my number.
Yes.
And text me. But fast forward, because this first person doesn't want to hear all this.
I think they do want to hear all of this. That's why they asked the question.
Fast forward. We talked for months and months. Months and months.
Yes.
We never saw each other again.
I got a lot of gifts from you.
Fast forward. And we went and we were in New York together at the same time.
Yes.
And you were on Andy Cohen. And after Andy Cohen, I said, let's have dinner. Like, let's have this dinner that we've been talking about. We went to dinner and I thought it was going to be a romantic, like, first date dinner. And you brought your makeup and hair team with you.
Yes.
So I was pissed off. I was not happy. I'm
no.
telling you now.
Well, I remember it just a little bit.
Okay, let me just finish my version. I'm not doing this today. I'm not doing this shit where you correct me and do. I'm not doing it. I swear. Patience running. Tim, this is my version, okay? And we're 60 days from getting married, so it's my version, and that's how it's going down.
Okay, keep
going. The version was this. We sat down at dinner at Tao, Noah's restaurant, hooked me up, got us a nice table right in the middle of the room. Do you remember that part?
I remember this part.
Okay.
But you're missing a lot of the beginning. Which was amazing. Okay. Because here's the thing. Randall was totally...
This is the part that I don't...
Randall was not my type. I was not his type.
Well, tell everybody what your type is. Let's start there. Let's start. Because now we're going to... I knew this was not going to go the way we thought it was going to go. Go tell everybody your... Can I finish my story first?
This is so romantic, guys.
It is romantic.
It's fucking far from romantic.
No, it was beautiful. Actually, it was very beautiful.
Can I just tell you real quick my part, my last part?
Yes.
So we're at Tao having a romantic dinner with your makeup and hair person.
Yes.
I had to wait till like 11:30 to eat dinner with you because you were on the show. You got done with the show. You come over. You walk in the restaurant. You look stunning. I'm like, oh, my God. Beautiful. We sit down and I'm pissed. I'm like, I'm going to get out of here within 30 minutes because who brings their hair and makeup person to dinner? So we're sitting there and then within like 7 minutes.
Someone who's compensating them with dinner. That's who takes them to dinner.
Again.
I said, I'm not paying you, but I will take you to dinner for your
services. It was awkward. But then we can talk about your relationship and how you met. So it'd be probably equally awkward. So long story short, I am eating and 8 minutes in. You reach over, true story.
Yes.
And grab my hand.
Correct.
At that point, I felt that we had our connection back.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know the makeup and hair people were there. And within, before the main course came.
Yes.
And ultimately, you were the main course. But before the main course came, that was good. I had to go there. See, that's the shit that's rubbing off.
That was the most amazing line ever.
Tim, I would have never said that shit 40
years
ago.
Keep going.
Okay. And then you reached my hand. And then before dinner came, I went in for the kiss. We kissed.
Yes.
We finished dinner. We went next door to the club at Tao.
Yep.
We were just making out like it was nobody's business. And then... as you like to say, we consummated our relationship that night, and we have been together ever since.
Yes.
Okay, can we leave it at that, please? I'm begging you.
I just want to say this one part, because this is important. This is important. Randall and I were texting a lot. We were not in this zone of like the flirty text, but we weren't like calling each other pet names or whatever. And then I would get presents. Then you invite me to New York, and I tell you... Yes, listen, because I want them to know that this universe was working for us.
Oh.
I say yes, and then I'm like, you know what? I need to keep this professional because at the end of the day, like, I do want to be an actress. That's why I came to LA. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call from Bravo that says, Andy Cohen would like you back on his Watch What Happens Live. I was banned.
You left that out.
I was banned from Andy Cohen because James and I got too drunk.
Right.
And we're cussing too much. They asked me back and they want me to leave the same day that I'm supposed to leave with you. If that is not the universe trying to push us together, I don't know what is. I knew that I wanted to be with you forever. When I took off all my makeup in front of you, I had the worst breakout. My extensions were horrible. And he said to me, you are the most beautiful person I've ever seen. And I knew physically you did not mean that. You were seeing much more than just the outside.
Of course.
And
yes, and I fell madly in love with you.
And then everyone was like, he's never going to marry you. And now we're engaged. We got engaged in Mexico.
We'll see. I just want to say something. How are we going to get through this episode if we spend 20 minutes on each question?
That was a long question.
But can I tell you a big question, though?
All right, Tim, way to go. Just kiss her ass a little more. Seriously, can we get any more kiss asses in the room? Baby, I want to tell you something. I know I'm making fun of it. You know how much I value how we met and how much I love you. And I am very, very grateful that it took a long time for us to get together. And yes, when we did get together, that connection that we thought was there was there. And we've never been apart since then. And yes, we've had a lot of bumps in the road, like a lot of relationships do.
Right.
You know, we both, both of us were not perfect in the relationship, but in the end, you know, we are getting married now and it doesn't matter what the fuck anybody says or what anybody did, because it's today now moving forward as your husband and you as my wife.
Were you nervous to propose, Rand?
Oh, come on. You know I was freaking the fuck out.
Because chicks don't have to do that. So I want to know like what that process was like.
Oh, I was freaking the fuck out. So we went to Cabo and it was your birthday weekend. And that's what we said it was. And so you were like, oh, my God, never want to get married. I never want to get proposed to and have a birthday celebration. So we got on the plane and we got down there. I was like, dude, a loser. Like somebody with no class or understanding of the world would ever propose on a birthday weekend. So I got just to manipulate you because I had to get you out of your head that you ever thought it was coming. Because I thought for sure you smelled it a little bit. So I kept reiterating that all weekend. I was like, babe, look, and you go, my nails aren't even done. I go, exactly. And I said, Lala,
my nails aren't even done.
I was like, Lala, get it out of your head right now. You're not getting a ring this weekend because it's your birthday. I already planned it out when we're getting married. Fast forward to the night it was going down. When we got to the hotel and I had the whole birthday celebration set up, that's when I started to fall apart. And I had put the ring in a box inside my boxers. And yeah, it was rough, Tim. And so we sat down at dinner. And we were talking about your dad, you know, he just passed. Yeah. And we were talking about like the clouds. And I remember, and I was pretty calm. And as the sun started to set, because I knew that time was coming, we just finished dinner, I was starting to fall apart and I was trying to keep it together. And once it got dark, we had ordered dessert and I was like, I couldn't take it anymore. Like I thought I was going to have an anxiety attack. So I was like, babe, we need to go for a walk. And you go, what do you mean? I go, let's just take a walk on the beach and then we'll come back. Like
he was like, I want to see the scenery. I'm like, it's dark outside.
Yeah, it was pitch black. It was pitch black outside. It was a bad line. But at that point, I had checked out. Like Elvis had left the building. And then we started walking on the beach. And then I had the big TV set up at screen and the couches and the s'mores. And we walked up to that. I was like, you bought into it. You go, what is this? I go, this is your birthday present. You love Friends, so we're going to watch the first episode of Friends on the beach in Cabo. Yeah.
Keep in mind, that's my dream birthday present, by the way.
Right, and I knew you loved it.
Like, I was thrilled about that.
And that was pretty good.
And that was a distraction. Right, so now I'm like melting down, but now, okay, so we lay down on the couches, and the episode starts, and you're happy, you're laying there, I'm cuddling you, but now I'm trying, while the episode's starting, I'm trying to reach into my jeans and grab the ring, and it's stuck. It's stuck. I mean, it's stuck in not a good place, and I can't. And she's pressed up against me, so there's no like. And so I'm petrified, like it's all falling apart. Everything's falling apart. So I'm trying to think, what am I going to do? So in my head, the episode starts, and then I remember it went to black,
right?
And I put on this show, like I'd like to my assistant, dude. I can't believe you're ruining this birthday. We're supposed to be watching Friends. But of course, the video that I made for her of us and our relationship comes up. So as the video comes up with the Coldplay song, she's getting emotional. And now I know it's ending, like within 30 seconds, let's say.
And I still can't get the ring.
I still can't get the ring. And now I'm like, this is all ruined. Plus, I got a guy up on a cliff about to light off $10,000 worth of fireworks. So this is all a fucking disaster. And now I'm so mad that why would I put it in my balls? Why would I put it in my jeans? So here's the final part. I'm thinking, why wouldn't I just put it in my sock? That's all I'm thinking. If I just put it in my sock, she's not going to look at inside my jean pants. So don't know what to do. As it's ending, I decide right when it ends, I'm going to fall off the couch because I'm so clumsy. I fall off the couch into the sand.
I whip around and I'm like, are you okay?
And it hurt like a motherfucker. I mean, it hurt. Yeah. And I'm like, damn it, because I'm old. I mean, that shit doesn't, can't just fall off like a stuntman. So I fell off into the sand. But at that point, I yanked it out of my jeans. And she's like, are you okay? You know, she's like concerned for me. And then I popped up. And there was the ring, and then I did
but
the deed.
You read me the most beautiful thing that you had written, and
about your dad,
about you asking my dad, which I had never heard that story before.
Right,
and then you opened the ring.
No, first before I even took the ring, I said I want to tell you that I read a whole thing I'd written, and then I whipped the ring out.
And you guys, I didn't know that he was proposing until he like
fell
opened
on the ground.
No, not even after the video.
After the video, you didn't know?
No, I had no idea.
I didn't even know that. Holy shit.
Didn't know until you opened the ring and you were like, will you be my wife?
Are you
and
bullshitting me?
Swear to God. Randall, you had put on this, done this long speech about, I will never propose to you on your birthday, which in all fairness, he didn't. My birthday is September 2nd. You proposed on the 1st.
It was a birthday weekend.
Right. So I still, once the ring was there, then I was like, oh my God. I was like, is this real? He goes, you need to answer within 30 seconds. And I was like,
no, because I had the guy about to pull the trigger.
The guy needed to do the fireworks.
You had to give like the signal.
No, the signal. I had the assistant on the beach on a cell phone to the guy out on the cliff in the ocean. I mean, the whole shit was crazy. And he couldn't hear like what I was saying because he's hiding behind the screen. So it was like a whole thing. We got it pretty much within, like, didn't the fireworks start like right before you said yes? I said,
no,
you need to say it,
the timing was perfect. So perfect.
But I did say yes, to you, I said,
and
you have 30 seconds.
All of a sudden the sky just lit up. I was like, oh my God. You are a movie producer. Like, how did you pull this off? Because if you recall, we were supposed to go to the Bahamas, but the Tropical Depression happened. How you moved?
No, I had to switch the whole shit. That's the other thing, Tim. I had the whole thing booked in the Bahamas on the beach. They were going to they helped me coordinate it all. And there's a tropical depression. I go, this is bullshit. And so I got to go to Cabo.
He switched it to Mexico.
Within 48 hours. I had 48 hours to pull it together. And I didn't even know if it was going to work because it was so last minute. And Mexico is not easy. I mean, in the Bahamas, like, you know, they do a lot of this stuff. But, like, I didn't know if I could pull it off. But then the fireworks, I said to her, she didn't even say yes. I did it. And then she's like crying. And I go, listen, a yes or no. It's really important right now. Like, yes or no. Because the fireworks on the cliff are about to go off. And I was going to be so pissed off if they went off. Oh, by the way, I think you thought they were for the hotel. I think you thought at first they were for the hotel. Didn't you or no? Or am I making that up?
No. Once I saw the giant ring, I just assumed like, yeah, he probably did.
Yeah,
the fireworks as well.
I'm glad this went on. Okay,
that's an epic story. Okay. Let's listen to this.
And we have to take a break.
Wait, take a break. I think we should say goodnight for this episode. Oh, come back next week. Okay, fine. One more question, then we'll go to break.
Okay, I like that.
Hi, guys. This is Sierra from Columbus, Ohio. I have a quick question. So, Lala, I was wondering, what is your most favorite thing about Randall and your least favorite thing about Randall? And Randall, same goes for you, too, about Lala.
Lala, you go first.
The list would go on and on for what I love about you, and the list is short for what I don't like. What I love about you is that you have accepted me exactly how I am. You haven't tried to change me one time, and I think there's a lot of things that I probably could change.
You think? I'm kidding.
No, you've given me all the confidence in the world, and the love you shed upon me on the day-to-day is freaking amazing. The thing that I could really do without is your messiness. He doesn't clean up anything. It's a lot of work. That's the only thing, is for you to be more
tidy. I think we're in good shape.
Tidy.
I think we're in good shape. I'm not changing that because I just feel that a home is to be lived in. You feel a home is a museum.
Correct.
You would be fine with walking into a museum and saying, this is your home.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like you should be able to live in it. That's just me. But anyway, okay. The thing I love most about you is everything. I love you. I love the way you love me, the way you take care of me, the way you love my children, how you support my career, and you always tell me how it is, whether I like it or not. I always love that about you. And you're not afraid to say what you feel, and your passion for life and your passion for our relationship.
Thank you. No. What would you change about me?
Well, I'm going to need an episode or two. I'm just kidding.
How rude.
I'm kidding.
How rude.
Do we have two episodes? No, baby. There's nothing that least favorite. I really don't feel that way. Like, I think that if I could put in a suggestion box.
Okay.
This is really, you got to be careful here. Sierra, you might have hotboxed me here or screwed me up. I think the only thing, babe, is that I think sometimes you have a hard time of letting things go.
Okay.
And I think you've worked on that a lot, like from when I met you. But I think the little things you have a hard time letting go.
I obsess over the little things.
For days. But yeah. The big things you really deal with pretty well. But it's like little things.
Like the popsicle stick left on the nightstand.
You don't let that go.
I won't let it go.
And not only that, you bring it up.
I don't let it go because it happens on a day-to-day basis. So it's hard to let it go.
But if you know it's going to happen on a day-to-day basis, why don't you just let it go?
Because you would think that just being like, hey, babe, could you throw this in the garbage can? You'd be like, sure. And you would do it.
I know, but isn't a home supposed to be lived in?
Yes. Let's wrap it up before we, you know, say things we don't mean. I'm just kidding.
No, let's keep going. Thanks, Sierra. We really appreciate it.
Hey guys, we are back, and right now we are focused on just answering your questions that you've sent to us via voicemail. So let's get our next question popping.
Lala and Randall, I just listened to your first episode and I love it. I'm so excited. I, of course, follow you both on Instagram, and I just want to comment on what an awesome daddy-o I think Randall is, and just like his ability to just let his girls just be themselves, and he's always like laughing with them and having a good time with them. And I just wonder how you guys co-parent and how that is working for you. So love the show. So excited to hear more, and love you both. Okay. Bye-bye.
I love questions about co-parenting. I just think it's really important to co-parent because my older brother, my mom is his stepmother. So I've learned a lot from her. She would tell me, you know, how to kind of do things, because it's really hard going into a situation and becoming a stepmother.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I agree with that. I think that first of all, thank you for acknowledging my daddy-o skills. I work very, very, very hard to be there for my kids and love them. And that's a highlight of my life. But moving on to that, co-parenting, I mean, I think we just try to figure it out. I don't think nobody had a roadmap in any of us. And I think we hit bumps in the road like anybody would. It happens. I think it happens. You hit bumps in the road at any time you co-parent. But I think that now we're in a pretty solid place where everybody has kind of working together. And I've always preached, and it didn't always work, but is if you put your kids first, everything else will work out. And I think we all got to that place where the kids' interest and making sure they're happy and making sure they're safe and making sure they're loved. And I think everybody's on the same page and everybody's working together. And by the way, don't you agree, Lon? You can disagree, of course, because you would without me telling you that. I think that you having a relationship, you know, a good relationship now, the two of you, you and their mom, I think the kids are better off, happier.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They can't hustle the households anymore.
Because that's what they were
doing.
They
were trying to hustle the households. They'd come to our house and say one thing, go to her house, say another. And now I look them dead in the face and I'm like, guess what? I'm going to tell your mom everything that went down today. And she's going to do the same when you're over there.
Yeah,
the best thing ever. I will say, though, if anybody's in a situation where the co-parenting is difficult, don't force it. It works itself out. I'm telling you, like there was never a moment like we tried to force it to happen quickly. And, you know, it was a slow process. But I would say that because of that process, we are in a great place. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm very happy with that.
All right. Let's go to the next question.
Next question.
Hi, guys. This is Kelly from Boston. First off, love the podcast. You guys had me tearing up on my way to work when Randall was talking about how his kids drew him a World's Best Dad Oscar. I'm sure Randall's an amazing father and Lala's probably the world's best stepmom, but that's a side of your lives we really don't get to see on the show. Just curious if that's the producer's choice or if you guys have made the conscious decision to keep the kids out of the public eye. Wondering just what your thoughts are on sharing that portion of your lives. Thanks so much.
Hey, Kelly from Boston. My sister lives in Boston, so very cool. And my best friend, Mark Wahlberg, is from Boston. Oh, so
name drop.
That's Hold my on. Best friend.
I need to pick up the name you
said.
Dropped.
It's my best friend. That's my best friend. Okay. My best friend, Mark, is from Boston. No, that is a really good question. I made the decision to keep my children out of the spotlight as much as I can. And it's not just the show. It's really not just a show. It's pretty much any aspect. I mean, they've been on movie sets where cameras have been there behind the scenes and all types of stuff. And I've really fighting as hard as I can. They're 10 and 6 years old. And I just want to keep them away from all that as long as I can.
Right.
And I just want to protect them and try to keep their innocence as long as I can away from that stuff. They already know dad. does movie stuff, and
right.
and they see actors, and they see me on TV, they see Lala on TV, they know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I think I just want to leave them that part of their life completely away from it.
I think we would feel differently if we were in control of the content that goes out
different.
To the television, but because
but
we're
hard.
Not.
And that's hard in any
It's
scenario.
Just our job to shelter them and keep them
and protect
safe.
Them. Yes. Yeah, we're always, I'm always, and Lala supports this because we had that conversation and their mother supports this. We all have agreed that the best thing for the children will be to always keep them out of the spotlight.
However, we love to post them on the gram because their personalities are so damn cute. I just, you know,
Riley's getting her own show.
I can't deprive the world of
Riley,
their cuteness.
Riley and I talked this morning. This is the truth, Kelly. Riley and I talked this morning. We made a pact that we are launching her YouTube channel in the next month because
yeah,
she really,
obsessed.
She's obsessed. Obsessed. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Next voicemail.
Hey guys from sunny Florida. I was just calling to see if you guys were planning on having kids of your own. It sounds like you have really blended your family well, and Lala's a great stepmom. So just wondering what your future holds.
I like people commenting on my sobriety. The only thing that is as equally as cool as that is when people are like, wow, you're doing a great job as a stepmother. So thank you for saying that it seems like I'm a great stepmom.
You are a great
I
stepmom.
Really try every day
you,
to make
you
that.
Do. And you do. And not only that, you gave up your entire day today. My 10-year-old wanted you to cancel your day, which I know you run around and work and have priorities like everybody else in the world. And you wiped out your entire day for her to spend the whole first half of the day. So you are a rock star stepmom. I give you a lot of props. And you and in terms of having kids, I have been told when I enter the relationship that is non-negotiable that I will be delivering a child into your belly.
I mean, once Rand and I decided like we're having babies, I called Stassi, Katie, and Brittany and said, y'all, we need to get on the same page. We need to start this pregnancy pact and have our kids within like a year, two at the max of each other, because I need my kids to have friends. You know, they won't have any cousins that live in the same area. So I need my friends to procreate, and those will be my kids' cousins. So yeah, Rand says he wants one, but I think we're shooting for two. Are you good with two?
No, I'm good with one.
Okay, so two it is. That's no, what you, I heard. No, next you, voicemail.
No, we're not moving on with this
next
shit.
Next voicemail.
Hey, I have an opinion. I have an opinion. I will be giving you one child to begin with, and then we will discuss child number two, which would end up being child number four for me.
You know what? All I'm saying is my body, my choice. Do not make me lie to you about birth control. Do not.
Tim,
please.
How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Are you going to have any more?
Probably not.
Okay. Moving on. Next question.
You're depriving me of two children.
I didn't say that. I said we'll discuss it. What is wife?
I keep thinking about Christmas Day.
Oh, here we go.
No, listen. And, you know, we're having, like, family time. And then London and Riley are like, well, time to go to my mom's house. And then my kid is sitting
there. And then you know what I say?
Bored
AF. It's quiet time. Quiet time.
It's we're quiet. Having two children, Randall.
Okay, I'm not doing this. On this podcast. This is not for decision. What we should do is we should put it to a vote. Let's have all the listeners DM.
I love this. Let's leave it up to the listeners.
Let's leave it up to the listeners. And if the listeners know anything, they will support Randall.
What they're going to do is
I am a working man.
Okay, listen. We're going to leave it up to the listeners.
Tim
do we
like
have one
anxiety.
Child or two? You're going to call 866-LALA-POD. One of my podcast producers is going to listen, and the next podcast, next week, she's going to deliver to me what the
vote
say.
Are we really taking
say.
A vote of
one kid or two?
This is not binding.
That's how it's going down.
This is not binding, because I'll tell you why it's not binding, okay? It's rigged. First of all, 900,000 of these people are your fans. About 11 are mine. So to all my fans out there, all 11 of you, call in, and you know which way to vote. Okay.
I'm so done with you. All right. Let's take a short break, and in that break, I'm going to convince Randall to give me two children, and we'll be back.
Wait, before we do that, I just want to say I didn't say no to two. I said we'll discuss it. Okay, off the break.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Off.
We are back with our voicemail podcast. That's the direction we're going today.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it too. So let's get them popping again.
I get to talk more. It's the only episode I'll ever get to talk.
Hey, Lala and Randall. My name's Erica, and I just listened to your podcast, and I'm in love with it because I refuse to pay for cable. And so I gleam onto anything reality TV that I can find in any other method. So it's really nice to meet Randall. And what I want to say is, or ask, I'm sorry, is, does Randall always talk so much? Because, Lala, you can barely get a word in edgewise. Even though I totally agree, Randall has a really sexy voice. So congratulations on that. It's amazing. But I didn't think he was going to talk that much. So, Lala, does Randall always talk that much? Really nice to get to know you, Randall. So I like that. And, Lala, you're gorgeous. Love you from the Midwest.
Okay, first of all,
Erica, you're amazing.
Erica, first of all, you talk as much as I do. That question was like a monologue. But by the way, Erica, I talk a lot. You and I would have a fun lunch together.
You guys would have the best lunch. It would be about 4 hours. And yes, Erica, actually, he talks a lot. Like for me, it's crazy because I'm the one on reality TV, but like the life that we live is for sure the Randall Show. Do you agree?
Yes.
You think it's the Randall Show as well?
No, it's not really the Randall Show. I would like it to be the Randall Show, but it is definitely the Lala Show. But yeah, I'm high maintenance a little bit.
You talk a lot.
So it's really nice.
But I like it. I mean, I encourage people to talk a lot. And it's a podcast. So if you're not going to talk, then we shouldn't be doing this.
Okay, let's answer the question, though. Let me respond to that.
What Erica is saying is you talk a lot. Do you? Or did that ding your ego so you don't want to talk anymore?
I think it dinged my ego a little bit. No, the reality is I have a lot to say in my real life every day. I'm just not used to being in the spotlight. So I think this is a platform for me to be able to be comfortable talking, and I'm talking to you. And when we are together, I probably do a lot of the talking, but I'm not as, I probably talk. If we were going to split up the percentages, I'm probably 80% to your 20%. And then I get mad when you talk because I want to keep going. Like you're about to talk right now, but I'm trying to talk over it.
Yeah, no, it's for sure the Randall Show.
Yeah, but
you know, I like it.
I know you do.
All right, next voicemail.
Hi, Lala and Randall. I love your podcast. It's such a great way to get to know both of you better, and you guys are definitely doing amazing. I'm totally looking forward to every Wednesday, and my question is for Lala. I just kind of wanted to know what was the process she took to start her cosmetic line. Thanks.
The process. So I'm going to be completely honest. Obviously, I have a leg up when it comes to starting a brand because I have a platform, which is Vanderpump Rules. So a company had reached out to me to do a collaboration. I said, I am not interested in collaborating with anybody, but I'm interested in having you, you know, give me my own line called Give Them Lala, obviously. So they committed to giving me my own line. And when I say they, it's a manufacturer who does all of these lipsticks and highlighters and foundations. I wanted to start with just lips. I came out with 6 lip colors and I got to pick the colors. I got to choose the consistency and the texture of everything. And people were obsessed with it. Thank you for everyone who has purchased Give Them Lala Beauty. And we were at 6 lip glosses and ventured into over 50 products. And now you guys have given me the means to expand the line even more, which I'm so excited about. So that's kind of how Give Them Lala Beauty came to be. If I didn't have the platform that I do have, I'm the type of person who will bang down every single door until I get what I want.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice to you.
I think that people should take away from that, that you are like, even though you have a platform and you have, it makes it a little easier for you, you fight for every dollar that you
have. Of course. But I also, you know, it gets annoying when you see these like famous people out in these streets and they're like, oh, I'm a billionaire because I worked really hard. It's like, no, bitch. Like, yeah, you worked damn hard, but like at the end of the day, you were a few steps ahead of everybody. So I'm owning that.
Right.
You know, I don't want people to, yes.
You had a leg up, but there's a lot of people that started a lot of cosmetic lines that don't have the success you have. So it's a credit to you. I see what you do. You're testing lipsticks. You're coming up with names. You're on endless amounts of conference calls with New York all the time, talking about your launch, talking about your brands, talking about your markups. So I give you a lot of credit.
Thank you, baby.
Hi, Lala and Randall. First of all, Lala, I love you and your unfiltered opinion. Love it. Saw The Irishman, Randall. Loved it. Boo on people who don't like it. It's because they don't have any taste. I'm just curious what your favorite thing about filming is and your favorite thing about not filming it. Thank you. Bye.
That's a good question. I love Team Irishman, and thank you. I wish you were an Academy voter, because maybe we would have won. Look, it sucked that we didn't, you know, that we went 0 for 10. That was a rough one. But, you know, so my favorite thing about filming, you know, everything. I love walking on the set. I love seeing all the people. You work really hard. It's okay. We have a lot of noise around us. I love walking on the set. I love seeing 100 people, you know, that you worked hard. You started with a script. You hired a director. You cast the movie. And now everybody's a team. And for me, that's the best part of a film, is that it takes an army to make a movie. And that it's just such a high to be part of a big machine.
Right.
And it takes every single person. You know that, Law. I mean, it takes every single person on a movie set, including all the behind-the-scenes editor, editorial, and all that stuff.
I went to the set with you of Irishman, and I've never seen anything like it. Marty was literally behind the camera moving extras around. Like, the extras are a huge part of
a film. And he has thousands. He has thousands of
thousands.
Them.
It was
like our budgets are like 21 of them. Their budgets are like 1,000. Yeah.
Right.
And the worst part of filming, you know what? I don't have a worst part because I love every aspect. The hardest thing I would say about making a movie would be being away from home. That's probably the only, and I don't want to even complain because you get to be part of something amazing, but being away from home is the shitty part. I don't think anybody has the right in our industry to complain, because making a movie is a privilege and being part of a film is a privilege.
That was a great answer, Randall. You're so passionate about your work, and I really love that about you.
Thank you, babe.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody, for listening and calling in. And thank you, Sir Restaurant, for hosting our podcast today. If you can hear all that noise,
yes.
You're welcome. You're in the room with Sir.
Thank you, Lisa Vanderpump.
And we look forward to sharing more goods with you. Remember, we air every Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Hey guys, my name's Bree. I'm a huge fan. I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm a bartender, and I find myself now on Wednesdays just getting super agitated when the last guest won't leave the bar, because the first thing I do when the last person's gone is throw on your podcast and listen to it, and it helps get me through my close. So keep doing what you guys are doing. You guys are super entertaining, and just absolutely loving the podcast so far. Cheers.
Thank you so much, my loves, to everyone who has already called in to leave us messages. Please keep them coming, because we love hearing from you. Call us anytime at 866-LALA-POD. That is 866-LALA-POD. I mother effing love you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band, like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.